15, and we've been talking about how to maintain your joy. And I want to begin, and I want to just pick up where I left off. We'll read verse 7, but I'm going to focus on verse 8 today. If you open your Bibles to John chapter 15 for me. Amen. John chapter 15, beginning at verse number 7. He says, if you abide in me, and we already talked about that, right? And my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. You see, you can tell a person has joy because they have a powerful prayer life. A powerful prayer life means that you have joy because you are in connection with the Father. Come on, somebody. That's what he's saying. He says, so that when you ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. But verse 8 says, by this, amen, my Father is glorified that you bear what? Much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Amen. Amen. Let us bow for prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord. Forgive us of our sins this morning. Lord, I ask for a fresh anointing in this church today, Lord. Lord, I ask that you would breathe life into this church. And God, continue, Lord, to take this church to places we've never been before. Father, there'll be a day, Father God, where you're going to get the glory from all of us, Father God. I know, Lord, it takes time. I know it takes resources. But, Lord, I believe the day is coming, Father God, where you're going to bless each and every one of us. So today we ask that you would bless the word of God. Forgive me of my sins, clear my mind, clear my heart, stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice, cancel the schemes and the plans of the enemy, and then touch the hearts of your people today. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank God. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Amen, amen, amen. John chapter 15, I believe, and from studying this passage and from teaching from this passage now for 7 weeks, John reminds me of a man, amen, that really knows something about Jesus. John writes to us, and he's telling us from the words of Jesus. As a matter of fact, John 15, this whole passage from 15, from verses 1 to verse 11 and on, this whole chapter actually, we find that Jesus is talking. Jesus is speaking to his followers. And one of the things that I found out in this journey that's easy to lose, you can't lose your salvation. Amen. But you can lose your joy. You can be connected to the right source, but yet have no joy. I don't know about you this morning, but there's been days in my life where I had what I call the absence of joy. Joy is something that I believe it's not predicated on circumstances. But I believe joy has everything to do with who you are connected to. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. In other words, his nature has changed. His character has changed. His characteristic has changed. His connections has changed. And as a result of that, amen, he's connected to something, amen, which is Jesus, amen. He's connected to something that can bring him everything that his heart's desire. I want to say this to you. I'm not saying that you and I can walk around every day, you know, smiling and full of joy. I know it's possible, but I want to say something to you. There are going to be bumps in the roads. But what I've been talking about, if you catch the key word there, is how to maintain your joy. Come on, somebody. Somebody here this morning, I want to tell you, it's not about having joy all the time. It's about maintaining your joy. Last week, I told you that you got to recognize how much you need him. That's what I told you last week. Told you, number two, that if you're going to maintain your joy, you have to remain in the word. Amen. The word brings you joy. The Bible says that the word is like a sweeter than honey from a honeycomb. The Bible says that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I believe that many of us are looking for joy, but we're not in the word. Do I have anybody? And then I told you the next thing you must do last week, I told you that you must rely on prayer. Prayer, amen. And I think I've spoken about that with our men on yesterday, that prayer is one of the most powerful tools available to the believer. If you and I are going to have joy, we're going to have to rely on prayer. We have to remain prayerful in the midst of whatever you're going through. But I tell you, I told you lastly, if you're going to maintain your joy, there's something you got to remember. You got to remember all that God has done for you. And when you start thinking back over your life and thinking about all the things that God has done or is still doing, how many of you are under construction today? How many of you, God is still working on you? It's been a while, amen. You have some up days, you have some down days, but I want to say to you this morning that joy, amen, comes when you get to the place where you understand that your joy has really nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with who you're connected to, and God supplies the joy. Amen. You heard the saying, my God will supply all my needs according to what? His riches and glory. Amen. And I want to say this, the word glory, John is moving into a different phase here. Jesus is talking about something different here. When he says, he goes from talking about in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. But verse 8 is key. Verse 8 says, my Father is glorified by this. What is his Father glorified by? I'll get into that in a minute, but I'll say this to you. The word glory, amen, is mentioned over 1,000 times in Scripture. And it seems to me that I cannot get away from this word glory. The word glory means to recognize something. It means to show honor for something, to praise, but also it means to invest with dignity. What am I trying to say this morning? What I'm trying to say today is that if you're going to maintain your joy, the first thing you and I must learn to do is we must live, you ready for this? To glorify God. So how do I do that, Pastor? How do I live to glorify God? In everything I do, God gets praise. Come on, somebody. In everything I do, God gets honor. You know, I believe it was Justin yesterday that read that passage in 1 Corinthians where it says, whether you eat, come on, somebody, whether you drink, but I love what it says right here. It says, and in whatever you do, what does it say? Give glory to God. And so it makes a lot of sense to me that if I'm going to have joy, then I have to make sure that the Father is pleased with my life. If I'm going to maintain my joy, I cannot live to praise the world. I cannot live to praise people. I cannot live. Listen, we honor people at our jobs more than we honor God. Come on, somebody. We honor a lot of different things, Jesus is saying here that my Father is glorified by this. By what? That you are abiding in me and my words are abiding in you, that you are staying connected to the vine. I don't know about you, but it makes a lot of sense to me. That it makes a lot of sense that if I keep glorifying God, I will be happy. I will have joy. My joy cup will not run out. Am I talking to somebody here? Listen, he said, I love what Paul said. He says, in whatever you do, do it. He says, whatever. Come on, somebody. He said, even when you eat, don't overeat. Even when you drink, don't get drunk. Don't get old. Don't overdrink now. He said, because if you do it in moderation, then you're bringing him glory. Man, there's some areas I need to improve in. Come on, somebody. How many got to improve in some areas? Because some areas that we're living in, we're not giving him glory. And watch this. No wonder why we don't have joy. Marriages are not working because somebody is not living for God. They're living for themselves. Amen. Amen. Stuff is not working out. The reason why we're having such a hard time at work is because when we go, we're not living to glorify God. But we're living to glorify, to gratify our flesh. Come on, somebody. He says, my Father's glorified by this. So God wants us to have joy. But our joy, watch this, is predicated upon how much praise, oh, come on, somebody, how much I invest, come on, somebody, how much I recognize God in everything that I do. Do I have anybody? Boy, I want to tell you something. I believe God got glory yesterday. I believe that God got glory from the women serving, to the men teaching, to us praising. I believe that God got glory. And saints, who wouldn't have joy while giving glory to God? Listen, I want to maintain my joy, but sometimes I fall short. Come on, somebody. He says, my Father is glorified in this. Watch what he says next. That you bear much fruit. Now, the next thing that I want to give you, if you're going to maintain your joy, the second thing is, you and I must live, here it is, not only to glorify God, but live a fruitful life. When we glorify God, we start bearing fruit. Watch this. The fruit of our lips change. The fruit of our words change. The fruit of our actions change. Come on, somebody. The fruit of our mind changes. Watch this. The fruit of our attitude changes if we are concerned about giving glory to God. Watch this. If you're living a fruitful life, who wouldn't have joy? You know, you may not have much. Come on, somebody. We may not have millions of dollars, but we're fruitful people. Come on, somebody. I think we got to change our focus. I believe our focus needs to change on giving God glory so that we can live a fruitful life. That's how you maintain your joy. That's how you stay happy. People wondering, man, what is going on? You got all this trouble, but yet you still got joy. Come on, somebody. People trying to figure out what's going on in your life, but you still have joy. Listen, they're talking about you coming to church all the time. They're talking about serving. They're talking about you driving way to Pearland to church. But I want to tell you something. They don't understand what the Lord, come on somebody, has done for you. They don't understand how far he's brought you. They don't understand that God was there when you were down. He picked you up. He turned you around. He placed your feet on the solid ground. They don't understand your story, so they don't know your glory. Come on, somebody. And I want to say to somebody here today that your life can be fruitful. Your words have to glorify him. Your lips have to glorify him. Your actions, the things you do before you do it, think about it. I believe if we do that, we'll have joy. I believe that in relationships, if we learn how to give God glory, but see, here's the thing, we forget about this. Listen, and this is what I've been talking about on Tuesday night, that we got to learn how to remember. Learn how to remember what God has done and then give God glory through your story. Look what he says next. And I'm coming to a close. I'm done. He says, so that you may bear much fruit, so prove. My. Now, I could have dealt with that word. That word, proof. Amen. He's not talking about you having to prove something. It literally has the idea of you becoming something. Don't miss that. You being regenerated. You being regened. Come on, somebody. You having, amen, the mind of Christ. You having the word of God inside of you. You becoming someone that you wasn't before. How many are not the same? Come on, somebody. I'm not the same. I'm not the same man. And I thank God today. I give him glory that I'm not the same man I used to be. Come on, somebody. I don't talk like I used to talk. I don't do some of the things I still do. Amen. Listen, the word here, amen, the word prove means that you become what's called a partaker. Come on, somebody. You become a partaker in what? In the process of change. He said, what does that mean? He says, you prove to be my, there go that word from yesterday, my disciples. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to share this with you. And this is real. You and I cannot do anything else now other than become a disciple. You know what a disciple is? The Greek word for disciple means a learner, right? But it also means to be a pupil. It means someone who has invested, you know, there are full-time students, and then there are part-time students, and then there are what you call hit and miss students. Come on, somebody. And then you got dropouts. Amen. And then you have those who you know, they'll come for a while, you know, teaching in the seminary, I see so much. You know, they think they can do it and they run after it and then they don't know what they're getting into, but here's the thing, they crash and burn and never to return. See, what you and I have to decide is what type of disciple are we? Notice, glorify him. A fruitful life. A fruitful life. A person that's given glory to God and is fruitful wants to learn more. The more you learn, now listen, the more, the higher you go, 10 o'clock I'll talk about suffering. But check this out. The higher you go, the more responsible you have to become as a disciple. The more you learn, the more you are required. Amen. The more you learn, the more is required of you. But it's not only being a learner, but it means to understand what you've learned. So my next point, the last point, if you're going to maintain your joy, you must live a dedicated life. A dedicated life. You and I have to be dedicated. Dedicated to what, Pastor? Dedicated to learning more. He says, you will become, what the text is saying, so that you may become my disciples. That's how it reads in the Greek. When you and I glorify God, when we bear fruit, we become a learner. The moment that you and I stop learning about God, we will start losing joy. Let me tell you something. There's some things we haven't even wrapped our minds around even yet. Let me give you one scenario. He's pure actuality with no potentiality, because if God needed potential, he needed to grow. Now, wrap that around your mind for a minute. He's pure actuality with no potentiality. So that if God needed to learn anything or grow, that means he wouldn't be God. Come on, somebody. God sits in eternity and looks down the corridor of time. See, as a disciple, when you learn stuff like this, it blows your mind, but it causes you to have joy that you are connected to a person like that. Oh, I wish I had somebody. The world can't give you no joy. People can't bring you no joy. A better house can't give you better joy. Listen, but nobody but Jesus. And the more you learn, I want to just encourage you like this. Get to know him better. Get to know, become a person. Listen, I'll never forget when I got saved. I dedicated myself. I'm dedicated. I'm still dedicated. And I wonder sometimes, I say, man, am I just playing? You know what I mean? When I first started, you know what I mean? I'm like, man, am I just going through the motions here. See, a lot of people won't understand your devotion if they don't understand your demise. Oh, I wish I had somebody. A lot of people will not understand your dedication if they don't understand where God has brought you from. A lot of people won't understand your story. Amen. They won't understand why you're so dedicated if they only knew where God has brought you from. And I refuse to let Satan steal my joy. I refuse to allow him to take my family. I refuse to allow him to destroy me in the process. So what I've decided to do is to remain dedicated to God. Broke or broken, either way,